And welcome back to the locker room. And we are going to talk NBA, and we've got our usual NBA correspondent who's having a bit of a rest over the summer with the cricket most of the time, Jason. And now that your back's fallen apart and all that sort of stuff, we get you back to talk NBA.
Yeah, well, it's nice to be considered an NBA correspondent sitting in my lounge in Crib Point, but... it's good to be back now. Good to be back. I've missed the cricket, being on the cricket show this year, but good to be talking to you about NBA.
And it's interesting when you just look at how the conferences are shaped, and there's one conference that's got the Cavs on top and the other one's got the Warriors on top. Are we still talking about 2017? It seems almost like a repeat.
Well, it's definitely the two best teams in their conferences, but I would say there's plenty of other challenges across the board, actually, this year. And if you look into the East, my team, the Celtics, have definitely been making a push. They didn't do a lot at the before the trade deadline, but the team they've got is fairly competitive, and they actually knocked off the Cavs this week.
And one of the other big stories, Mr. Bogut got himself into the headlines. What's going on there?
Yeah, it's funny how the NBA works. Very different to what we're used to with our sports in Australia. But, yeah, so Bogut was he was playing for Dallas this year, and he got traded to Philadelphia, where Brett Brown's the coach. We would remember Brett in Australia as I think he actually coached Australia for a while. He has bought out his contract, which means he's a free agent, and I'm pretty certain he'll suit up with the Cleveland Cavaliers in the next week.
Jason, I'm very impressed with the Houston Rockets start to the campaign, and also Mike D'Antoni. There was a lot of critics before the start of the season saying, why did Houston appoint Mike D'Antoni? But he's proved them wrong at this point in time.
Yeah, George, I probably was one of those critics. So Mike D'Antoni is, his style, he's got a run and gun style, so it's pretty open. Defence is not one of his mantras, and it worked really well when he was the coach of Phoenix Suns, and he had a guy called Steve Nash running the point for him. But his timing's probably been pretty good, because the NBA this year is probably one of the best seasons of all time as far as openness goes. It's really attacking, high scoring, and that exactly falls into Dan Antoni's style. So he's also got James Harden playing a little bit more unselfishly this year, which has helped the team. And Harden's actually top of the assist total, which in previous years you probably wouldn't have seen. Harden probably more was I'll shoot 30 shots and pass it 3 times. Now he's probably shooting it 20 times and passing it 15 times, which is better for his teammates.
Just looking at some of the games that are on today, Wizards and Raptors, that's pretty good game, isn't it? Sort of basically third and fourth in terms of the total score, total wins in the conference. Two good sides.
Yeah, massive game. Another one I'm watching at the moment is Cleveland-Atlanta. It's a big game. But, yeah, the Wizards have started really slowly this year, but they've got all their pieces in place. Bradley Beal's playing really good basketball at the moment, and they've got a couple of good signings coming off the bench. Bogdanovich is one of those signings. They got him from the Brooklyn Nets, and he's been really good off their bench. And Toronto, well, they've probably been the bridesmaids in the East for the last couple of years with Cleveland dominating. But, yeah, they're still really strong and still winning games without their point guard, Kyle Lowry. He'll be back soon, and that'll make them even more potent. But that is a big game today.
Any of the Aussies, how are they going? Because there's a lot of talk pre-season about some of the Aussies getting into the squads. How have they been progressing?
Yeah, really good, actually. The two Aussies at the Bucks have been good. Dellavedova, he's been in and out of the starting lineup, but when he plays, he does what he does, and that's fight and scrap, and he's very effective at that. And the other one is Thon Maker. He's been, initially didn't get very, very many minutes at all, but the minutes that he got, he was really effective, and he's moved into their starting lineup with a few injuries there, and whilst he's not playing big minutes, for a really raw rookie who they sort of thought was going to be a project player, to be doing this couple of things he's doing is really exciting. And they kind of are comparing him a little bit to his teammate in Antetokounmpo, Giannis, the Greek freak. I'm not even going to attempt his surname, Neil.
No, but, Jordan's good at those names.
The other Aussies around the league have been... Bogut's probably struggled a little bit with injury, as he quite often does. Paddy Mills has been super at San Antonio. And the two boys at Utah have been all right as well. Joe Ingles, in particular, has had a great season. And I think we're seeing a little bit of what Dante Exum can do now, but his minutes were very limited early on.
So Western Conference, you didn't quite... we started on the Eastern, but Warriors are sitting on top, and Spurs are probably next at this stage. How do we look at the Spurs this season?
Warriors are interesting because Durant's just injured. He's done a medial ligament, so he'll be out for 4 or 5 weeks, which just means they've only got Thompson and Curry and Draymond Green. So, yeah, they'll be really struggling without him. But, the Spurs are really good again. Greg Popovich is a genius. He's kind of the Craig Bellamy of the NBA. It doesn't really matter what pieces he has. He manages them to get them to play a system that works all the time. So, they'll be up and about for sure this year. They've had Gasol coming off the bench in recent times, which is amazing. Then there's Houston. Jordan mentioned they'll be right up there. And Oklahoma, with Westbrook averaging a triple-double this year. They thought that would never happen again after Oscar Robertson, but amazingly averaging a triple-double. And if he can focus on winning more than his stats, he'll certainly guide them pretty far in the West.
I was listening to ESPN the other day, and... a lot of people were very critical about Draymond Green and a few of the problems he's having at Golden State Warriors. They're saying that he's going to cost Golden State the championship. What are your thoughts there?
Well, it's interesting because he's definitely shooting his mouth off regularly. He's very opinionated, which is not unusual in American sports. But at the moment, he's packing it up. He's a really important player to them, especially defensively, but... Yeah, I reckon his high-profile teammates would probably be wanting him to do all the talking on the court, which he does a lot of that as well, by the way. But, it'll be interesting how long Steve Kerr sort of puts up with that. But while he's backing it up, I suppose, you get away with it.
That's it. Looking at the bottom of the table of the Western Conference, the LA Lakers seem to be struggling. They started the season all right, but then their form has sort of dipped a little bit. How do you think they're going to go, not only this year, but years to come?
I was going to bring up the Lakers. They're playing my boys today, the Celtics. But interesting times at the Lakers. They're terrible on court, absolutely terrible, but they've got some really good young players who are still developing. They probably just need some veteran leadership around them. But off the court, the Buss family, who own the Lakers, they're the majority owners of the Lakers, are having this massive family feud at the moment. So they just hired Magic Johnson to be the head of their operations, which is basically to run the Lakers. And interestingly enough, if the twins get their way and they then take over the club from their sister, then Magic Johnson could easily get sacked. Just as quickly as he's been hired. So they're in disarray at the moment. Hopefully they hold on to Magic, because I think that was a really good signing. But yeah, stay tuned with the Lakers. Anything could happen there.
Another team who's been struggling in recent years is the Philadelphia 76ers. But this year they've sort of gone up a little bit and are in 13th position above the Orlando Magic and the Nets as well. They've got a good quality of young players, the likes of Ben Simmons. You've got Jahlil Okafor, a former Duke player. How do you think they're going to go in the years to come? They seem to have a lot of young players that are going to come through in the next few years, and I believe they're going to go up the table, maybe not reach the finals next year, but maybe the year after it's their year.
Yeah, they're a bit like the Bible. They're very difficult to read. They've got some amazing pieces in there. They're a lot better this year than previous years, but I'm not sure they want to win just yet. Which sounds like a weird thing, because we know in Australian sports, unless you're Tomic or his mate Kyrgios, that you try 100%. But they've put Joel Embiid, who was their rookie, on ice for the year. He played 31 games this year and really looked good. And that was after missing. He got drafted 3 years ago and hadn't played for the first 2 years because of injury. So they've iced him up for the year. They traded away Nerlens Noel, who went to Dallas, because they had a bit of a logjam at their forward position and centre. Okafor's a gun, but he's got a few issues going on off the court. If they can get him right, again, be good. And Simmons has been put on ice for the year as well. So if you get all those pieces together, and no doubt they're, they've got some more coming, it's got to be good in the future. They've persisted with Brett Brown, so obviously they've got a plan in place because he's lost a lot of games as a coach, and he's still the man. So stay tuned for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Analysing the Cameroonian Joel Embiid, do you see him probably as a future NBA MVP? What are your thoughts there?
Oh, I see him as an all-star for sure. In fact, you know, there was talk of him being an all-star this year. That's how highly regarded he was by some of the people, the broadcasters. But, yeah, I can't predict anything with Embiid because he's played 31 games in three seasons. And his body's not overly reliable at the moment. But if they could get him on court for any length of time, yeah, look out. He looks like an absolute monster. And he's got a pretty good touch as well.
Looking at the MVP award this year, who are your thoughts probably going to take out that award? You're looking at Russell Westbrook. He's averaging 31.4 points per game. Isaiah Thomas from Boston, your team, 29.6 points. And you've got James Harden also leading the way as well. They're 28.8 points. So those two top three players may take out the award. Who do you think is going to come through in the end?
Yeah, good question. I'd love Mr. Fourth Quarter Isaiah Thomas to get there. His fourth quarters have been insane this year. He's got the record, I think, ever of his average in the fourth quarter. He's averaging over 10 points per fourth quarter, which is just insane. And, of course, in America, if you're good in the clutch, then you're pretty highly respected. But I'm actually going to be a little bit boring with this one, Jordan. The guy I reckon who's had a sneaky good year is actually LeBron James. His assist total is way up on previous years, and his rebounding and points are really good as well. And given how much Cleveland are winning, it's hard to go past him. It's hard to go past as well. Steph Curry, again, has had a pretty good year. And it's amazing that a guy averaging a triple-double is probably not going to win the MVP. That almost seems insane, but I think that'll happen this year.
Isaiah Thomas is an unbelievable story, considering he was pick 60, the last pick in the NBA draft a few years back now, but he's definitely showing his worth.
Oh, he gives midgets like me real hope, to be honest. He's only 5'9", and when you see him on the court against all the absolute giants, he looks tiny. But the one thing he can do is he can fearlessly get to the basket, and it doesn't matter if he gets crunched, he sort of gets back up. He's become a way better passer. He's not a great defender, but he is the heart and soul of Boston now, and they love him. He loves the city, and hopefully he can lead them to a championship.
Mate, we better let you go. We've got Bobby Bajram be on the line in a minute, but enjoy the cricket today at Main Ridge. What a magnificent day to be watching the cricket, eh?
Oh, it'll be a nice day up at Main Ridge. It'll be even nicer if we can win and finish second in the ladder.
Very much so. Jace, thanks for the NBA wrap, and we'll catch up in a couple of weeks and get a bit more of the lowdown.
Sounds good, boys. Have a good day.
Cheers.